The family of a local teenager says she never would have left home without calling.
Just praying for the best. I want my daughter home, man. And if she can't come home, I just want to know where she's at.
These posters around the towns of Livermore and Jay beg anyone with information to come forward. Posters that Richard puts up every spring, never losing hope.
Tell me what happened to my daughter. Just look me in the eyes so I can see her.
An arrest in a nearly four-decade-old cold case. Thanks to cutting-edge DNA technology, the arrest happening exactly 39 years to the day
when Parabon Nanolabs used that sample to create 3D models of the suspected killer's face.
It's heartbreaking. We miss her, and we're going to find her. We're going to keep looking till we do.
It's like a never-ending nightmare. It doesn't end. It keeps returning and coming back.
And we're live. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and everybody watching back is a recording. Appreciate y'all being here tonight.
Yes,
we don't
absolutely
have a guest tonight, so you're stuck with just our ugly mugs.
Yeah, we got almost 70 people in here already, so that's kind of cool. They're going to be severely disappointed when they realize they're just listening to us talk all night.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So tonight we're going to talk about the missing person case of Eric Foote. He went missing from Washburn, Maine, this year, January 30th, 2024. Yeah, make sure you comment live so we can answer your questions if we can. If you have any thoughts or theories, we'd like to hear those as well. So we do have a statement from Eric's mom. Jeff, do you want to read that?
Yeah. So his mom says, Eric is a good person and has a good heart. And I'm not just saying that because I'm his mother, because I know his faults too and what he struggled with. But that doesn't make him less deserving of being found. And that's absolutely true. He considered everyone his friend, the type of person that never met a stranger and gave everyone the benefit of the doubt. He would help anyone and go without to give someone in need. He had an outgoing personality. He loved his two daughters. He was his father's buddy, and he is lost without him. God, that's heartbreaking to even read. When he was about 3 years old, he had an emergency surgery for duplicate organs. He had absorbed a twin and almost died. After that, he suffered from stomach problems for the rest of his life. You don't know how sad it is to see the light go out of someone's eyes. He was a great kid. We got compliments about how nice he was from everyone all the time. He always loved the Army. We were a military family, and we were stationed in multiple places. He joined ROTC in high school and entered the Army after graduation. He served in Korea, then Iraq. The night before he shipped out, they removed his gallbladder. What a horrible flight that must have been, I imagine. He served his country honorably. When he came back from the war, he wasn't the same. He was more withdrawn. And his life started to decline as he struggled with depression, PTSD, and undiagnosed mental health issues. His physical health declined as well. As a kid, wherever we were stationed in the summers, Eric would come to Washburn, play little league baseball, and spend time with his grandparents. When my husband and I retired, we asked Eric to come up here with us to get a fresh start. He had only been in Washburn for about a year and a half. He had just started going to the VA for assistance with his physical and mental health. You know the rest of the story about his terrible ordeal on January 30th, his Nana's birthday, the day he must have suffered so painfully and alone. What a horrible day for him, crying out for help and so many people seeing him and calling 911 about him. And he got no help from anyone, not even law enforcement called an ambulance or took him to the hospital. He would be here with us today, except for that. To add to our pain and suffering, which can't be expressed in words, but has to be experienced to understand the depths of it. Matters were made 1,000 times worse when we were lied to, and additionally, over the past 58 days, have struggled to get help in finding him and getting media attention his case deserves. Eric was a disabled veteran and our son. Our hearts are crushed beyond repair. He needed help and asked for help January 30th, almost 2 months ago, and he didn't get it. He still needs help. Please help find Eric so he can return to his family. And that was from his mom, Brenda Foote.
Oh my gosh, that's so heartbreaking.
I know. Yeah, that was kind of hard to even read.
The first time I read it, I was like, wow. And it's true. You think that if... So he's a soldier, right? And
yeah,
he's a missing person. I wonder why he's not getting the media coverage that other people are getting. And I know Brenda has posted everywhere. In fact, she has a page on Facebook. I just screwed up the name. Is it Help Bring Eric Foote Home, I believe is the name of the page. You can look that up, Jeff, and we'll share that on the screen.
Let me share that screen.
So this case is bizarre. So if you're not from Maine, I can tell you January, Maine gets really cold. Eric was seen. Oops, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is a Facebook page, and I'll also share this out in the chat for everyone to go check that out. That's going to be right in the chat now.
Go on and follow that page for more updates.
Yeah, absolutely. Show support.
We need.
And it's heartbreaking.
So if you're not familiar with the case, we'll go over the timeline here. Are you good with that, Jeff?
Yeah.
All right. So January 30th, 2024. So that morning, the temperature is right around 18 degrees. Officer Cole encounters Eric in the early morning outside of his home in the full stages of a mental health crisis. Officer Cole does not call for any assistance for Eric, and he ends up just leaving Eric on Eric's front lawn. Eric, mind you, 18 degrees, had just a t-shirt on and a pair of jeans.
Yeah, like that's, and if anyone's from outside of the U.S., that's Fahrenheit, not Celsius. So that is frigid.
So at this point, no one really knows anything about Officer Cole encountering Eric that morning. But then around 1:15 p.m., he sees Eric again. This time, Eric is walking along the Washburn Road heading towards Presque Isle. The temperature at that time is around 25 degrees. Eric still does not have a jacket on, t-shirt and jeans. Officer Cole sees Eric on the side of the Washburn Road. Eric is still in a manic state with no jacket and a short sleeve shirt on. Officer Cole then asks Eric to get in his cruiser for a ride. Eric told Officer Cole that he needs to talk to someone. So Officer Cole then heads towards Presque Isle. Officer Cole initially tells the family he dropped Eric off at the hospital. So the family reached out to the police department to find out, you know, where their son is. And Cole tells them that, yeah, I dropped him off the hospital. He should be there. They reached out to the hospital and they had no record of Eric ever making it to the hospital. The family then contacts the chief of police, who then interviews Officer Cole. Officer Cole says, well, I dropped him off at Freshies, which is a small gas station, deli type thing in Presque Isle. So, A, why is Cole changing his story? Why wouldn't he just tell his family that's where he dropped him off?
Right.
So later, through dispatch records, it is revealed that he left him at Freshies in Presque Isle. So later on that evening, Eric is never seen on CCTV at Freshies, and Cole is the last confirmed contact with Eric. There's a report that a minister sees Eric walking back towards his home on the Washburn Road. And that night, the temperatures got as low as 13 degrees, minus 13 degrees. And the only real search that PD has done was on February 19th. Sheriff's Department conducts the only search for Eric off the Washburn Road. Officers and dogs find no signs of Eric. So that, to me, like...
That's it's disgusting. I mean, and there's other connections in this with that officer. It's another case that we've talked about as well, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But did you have any more on that? Because I just got some just the simple spots on Google Earth where
go ahead.
That was
just to kind of show them where he was picked up, how far it is from Presque Isle.
Yeah, so this is Freshie's here in Presque Isle. And this is Washburn up here. That's the not sure what we have for a distance in that. I think that's the guy there. So
I believe it's about 3 miles.
Well, as a crow flies from Freshies to Washburn, that's 9 miles. I didn't get the hospital on here, although I don't think the hospital matters because he never made it there in the first place, right?
Right. And Jennifer, that's true. Such a rural town. I can't believe the officer was so busy he couldn't help take care of someone that was in desperate need, especially a veteran, I mean, or anyone.
Well, and especially from, you know, what his mom was saying, you know, he's willing to go, like that's the really heartbreaking thing about it. He's always willing to go out of his way to try and help other people, and, you know, he cares about other people, and then, you know, and served his country. He's obviously a selfless person. Selfless, not selfish. And then to just be let down, it hurts to even say, man.
And I should say, we did ask Brenda to come on. She is his mother, but the family's taking this really hard, as anyone would. They're both, her and her husband are both physically sick from this. They can't sleep. They're not eating. So she said she didn't think she could go on publicly and talk about the case, but she did offer us up that statement, which we really appreciate.
Yeah, great. You're very, very much. Yeah, we don't want to put any extra pressure on here. So, you know, we'll do the best we can to try and get the message out. And obviously it greatly helps if you guys, you know, share this out, because, you know, people aren't going to see this unless it's in their face, right? And no one else is really talking about it.
Officer, a lot of inconsistencies, and we're going to look at Cole's past as well. Freshies has cameras. He should have been on them along with Cole's car. That's sketchy. Yeah, Kara, it doesn't make much sense. Like, the only thing that I'm seeing is, and what they told the family was that he was not seen on camera. So that means, you know, did they see the police car even pull in the parking lot?
Now, there is nothing ever said about what he. Oh, there is nothing ever said about what he needed to talk to people about. Right? It was just he just needed to talk to someone.
Right, and he was having a full mental episode, mental health episode, where he's very upset, crying at times.
The
first time Officer Cole comes across him, he's on his hands and knees in his front yard. Again, it was like 18 degrees at that point.
And he drops him off somewhere, like such disregard for another human being.
If anyone knows anyone that works at Freshies, ask them if they saw anything that night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're like this, like, and even the police have come out and said that they've pretty much exhausted all of their resources. Well, so they claim, but one search doesn't say to me that they've exhausted all their resources. They've only done one search, but they are asking for public's help. So if anyone on January 30th was in Presque Isle around that time, if they saw anything, it was around 1 p.m. was the last time. 1:30.
Yeah,
well, was about the last time. Okay, it was about the last time he was seen. So from then on, if anyone was around, definitely. Reach out, and I have the number for the Presque Isle or Aroostook County Sheriff's Office. It's 207 532-3471.
Alicia Thomas Fitzherbert says, did the minister see him on the Washburn Road that afternoon or that evening after being left at Freshies? So this was what the pastor's wife had reached out to Brenda and gave her this message. Hey, Brenda, my husband just saw your post about your son tonight because he was looking at information about Mrs. Shaw, which is the other case we covered a few weeks ago. A teen Shaw who's also missing from Washburn. He then realized he had seen him on the night of his disappearance. He called the law enforcement number to let them know. But I wanted to share with you that he saw your son on the Washburn Road in a t-shirt on one side of the road arguing with a man in a truck on the other side of the road. It struck him as unusual, and he texted a group chat what he had seen. That's how he is certain... Struck him as unusual, and he texted in a group chat with what he had seen. That's how he was certain what night it was. So basically he went back and read the group chat. This font's really small.
And what time was that? You just said that night?
I don't think that is much information to go on, but he did call the sheriff's office to let them know. I'm sorry to know that your child had to suffer in the cold, but I'm praying that he's found a warm, safe place to be in after that. But yeah, so Brenda didn't know a time either. So when I was trying to get the timeline from Brenda, there's a lot of statements, comments with no real timeline of
certain. And that was on the Washburn Road, right?
Right.
Yeah. So this is the Washburn Road that connects Presque Isle to Washburn, like Route 164 here. Like it goes through Cruisville. So not entirely sure where it was on that. It's a fairly good stretch, but there's a lot of comments. We're going to apologize in advance if we don't get to a lot of these because there is a lot of comments, but we do appreciate you guys.
Trisha said, sad part is cop hasn't told truth in keeping secrets that could solve the case. Exactly. And Megan, we're going to get into this. Hope this cop isn't on active duty right now. He is not.
Never should have been either.
And then we'll get into this now, Billy Joe. So it sounds like Officer Cole has a history himself with the police. And that he does. So this is from the Tampa Bay Times, and I believe it was April 2001. And I know anyone can change. This is not indictment. I'm not saying that Officer Cole had anything to do with the disappearance other than maybe not performing his job the way he should have. But this was in Tampa Bay Times back in 2001. It says, deputy suspended, charged with battery. A sheriff's deputy faces battery charges after authorities say he pushed his wife, bit a friend, and threatened suicide in a drunken rage. Deputy Chandler T. Cole, 31, a member of the agency's traffic enforcement unit was arrested Friday night and has been suspended with pay from the force until an internal investigation is complete. First of all, why is he getting paid?
Yeah, why is that paid?
His wife has an emergency restraining order against him that states Cole has a drinking problem and has been violent before. So he's got a restraining order. I don't know how he'd still have a gun. Where did I leave off? According to the sheriff's report, Cole went to a party at the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge and got extremely drunk Friday night. As he and his wife being driven home by a friend, the couple argued. Jernigan then reached over to him while he was sitting turned around in the passenger seat and yelling at his wife. Jernigan tried to get him to sit forward and stop fighting. And I'm guessing this is the friend. That's when Cole bit Jernigan's hand, officials said. Cole's wife then yelled at him to stop acting like a jerk. But he reached into the back seat and pushed her in the face 3 times, the report said. He then told his wife that he knew she hated him, that he was going to commit suicide because he loved her so much. The news article goes on to say, he said that he would shoot himself the next morning and that their 2 daughters would miss him, the report said. Then he punched the windshield of the sport utility vehicle, shattering the glass, and opened his door and jumped from the moving vehicle. Jernigan stopped the SUV, got out, and tried to talk to Cole. He told her to stay away from him. Meanwhile, his wife ran to a relative's house and called the sheriff's office. Deputies came and arrested Cole, who faces two counts of battery. He was taken to the Hernando County Jail, released the next morning on a $500 bail.
$500 bail?
Yeah. This was 2001, so... While Cole was in custody, authorities removed several guns from his home, and Cole's wife obtained an emergency restraining order against him. In the order, she requested that Cole be banned from their home and her workplace and forbidden to have any contact with her. She said she would be willing to allow him supervised visits with their daughters. That article is by Jamie Malarney, published April 17th, 2001. I did see... Let me pull that back up.
So, it's quite obvious, not a history of being the most ethical person on the planet.
So listen to this. You're going to love this. So on May 8th, 2001, the quick little article in here says, a deputy accused of pushing his wife, biting a friend, threatening suicide after getting drunk at a party will return to work today. So this was in April. So May 8th, he returned to work. As a condition of his return, Deputy Chandler Cole must also complete a 26-week batterers intervention course, attend Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, Chief Deputy Mike Hensley said. We hope this will cause him to change his unacceptable behavior, Deputy Mike Hensley said. But like
that
if you're right,
we hope that this will make him change, right? Not like that is such bullshit.
Wow, lots of comments here. And I don't know, I'd have to look up the laws in Florida, which I didn't get a chance to do before this, but if you're convicted of a battery charge, is that, I guess you can still have weapons? Stay and still be a police officer?
Well, yeah, there's definitely no way that he should have still been a police officer. But again, 2001, maybe, like, even in 2001, there's, hopefully that law has changed, but there's no reason for that, him to have stayed on.
It's crazy.
But yeah, he definitely could not have had, if there's a restraining order, and maybe it's just in Maine, I feel like it's across the country, though, if there's a restraining order against you, you're not allowed to, like, have a firearm in your possession.
Let's get to some of these comments real quick. Let's see. Where did we leave off?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. The list is very long. So,
does cops not investigate ingredients one of their own? Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm sure it's kind of just a hush-hush push through. He's not going to get nailed like other people would. Why did the cop lie? First, he dropped him off the hospital, then changed his story. This cop needs to have a lie detector test done. So... the officer, when questioned by his chief, when he changed the story up and said, well, no, I dropped him off at Freshies, the officer then notified that he was going to be suspended, at which point Officer Cole then told him he had quit, so he resigned his position. Again, if you have nothing to hide, why would you resign? Why would you lie?
Right.
And
Heather's saying, from my understanding, it was said that Freshies claimed their cameras weren't recording that day. So I wonder how that's well just something from earlier.
Knew the officer. Brenda thinks that it was a PTSD episode, Danielle. Yeah, so we just covered that, and I know we're kind of behind, but yes, the officer had resigned. Someone needs to talk to the podcast Dark Down East. Why? You got us. You. No, she does a great job over there as well. The more eyes in the case, the better. Oh, you just said that.
Sorry. Yeah. No, you're good.
So, yeah, he quit, and Luke says he's working as a carpenter.
I bet he does shoddy work. Now we also will open this up if anyone wants to call in. We do have a number of people to call in.
We'd love to have a guest on. You mind if I show this question?
It's kind of No, that's just up there.
Oh, thank you for having your picture of Ayla on your profile, Dominique. If he was left anywhere near Freshies, the other businesses around should have seen something on their cameras. That and traffic cams, there's no way if he was brought to a Presque Isle, a camera somewhere didn't come up on the road. There's a dispo and a restaurant next to Freshies and business behind. Yeah, and I don't know how much, I couldn't tell you how much investigating the officers actually did in this case. You know, did they go out and ask for video?
Yeah, I mean, they claim they've exhausted their resources, but that was, from the looks of it, just one search for him, right? So,
and yes, Heather, that same thing that I'd heard, the minister would have stopped had he been alone, but because he had his son in the truck with him, he didn't want to jeopardize his son's safety. So that is something we had heard as well.
Well, and I'm curious about the truck. The details of the truck.
So it sounds like the truck was on the opposite side of the road from him. So he's walking back to which Washburn, and that truck would have been coming from Washburn to Presque Isle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So or drove past him and turned around, right?
Amy Diane says, yes, he did speak to my husband. Oh, at Freshies that night? Yeah, unfortunately, to my knowledge, he didn't get a license plate, Christy.
I mean, even what color? Because if it was white, maybe it was one of the... what does Presque Isle has its own police department, right? That wasn't the sheriff's department that he worked for?
He worked for Washburn PD.
Okay. Oh, so okay.
Took him out of Washburn, dropped him off at Presque Isle, and went head back to Washburn, I guess. So, yeah, so that's a good question, Megan, about, like, I'm not sure what the policies are, but how do you...
How do you get a new job? Like, if I was hiring, I don't care how much experience someone has. If I'm going to hire someone for the police department, if they have a history of, like, beating their significant others in drunken rages, like, I don't care how long ago that was. It's not happening, right?
And as I mentioned, February 19th, I believe it was, they did a search. Kara says, did anything come from the search in Krausville, where the footprints and smokes were found? Dogs didn't find anything. They didn't find anything else. And to my knowledge, they didn't do any DNA on the smokes to find out if they belonged to him or who they belonged to. This is a good point. Patricia says, cops stated he dropped off Eric. Investigation is still being used as officers Cole's word. So yeah, so they just agree, like, oh, that's what happened to him. He was last seen at this place, dropped off there. We do have the minister that did see him walking.
Oh, just try to click on something and got comments in the way. No, I don't even see where it was. the comments moved past it.
Nancy Flesh says, are the cops supposed to have body cameras on or car cameras? I don't know if every police department has as a requirement. I know most do, just to protect their officers.
Yeah, I mean, and the state doesn't make a ton of money either, so I'm not entirely sure if everyone's going to have that. Oh, I got a call coming in 1 second.
Where exactly on the Washburn Road was Eric last seen? To my knowledge, the minister's wife didn't tell Brenda where. Just said that it was seen on the Washburn Road. He might have told police a more thorough location.
I had a call coming in, but they hung up.
Oh, somebody's shy. Oh, Teresa. That's my wife's aunt. Oh, goodness. How does he make it to a cop? We are supposed to be able to count on them to help us, not hurt us. Exactly. That's exactly right. Like, he was having a manic episode. He needed help, and the police officer didn't do his job. I didn't think you could become an officer if you have a record. I think you probably could still become an officer, but it depends on the record. Like,
right.
Battery and threatening to...
Yeah, if you got some, like, driving, like, speeding tickets or something, it's probably fine, but especially given the circumstance.
Officer Cole should never have been hired as an officer again after his record. Well, you know, the funny part is the department that initially suspended him with pay, they brought him back on within a month. So I'm sure he changed a lot.
Right.
Wow. Like,
his son is also PD. Is that Cole's son?
Yeah, I don't want to get into his personal family, but I know his son was going to school for criminal justice, and I think he works at the airport. Northland's investigation consulting, not if he has a PFA. Right. So was the charges dropped, or how does that work that you can still become a police officer?
Unless, because it's in a different state, right? Maybe that's why he's in Maine.
Yeah, I think off they dropped some of the charges. So yes, let's talk about this. Thanks, Kara. So we had talked about Ateen Shah's case a few weeks ago. Well, probably about a month ago now. Also went missing from Washburn, Maine. And Chandler Cole was the one that documented Ateen's missing person report. The town report says zero missing persons, and there clearly was one. He obviously does a terrible job. Tell us how you really think.
Oh, let me see if I can play this. There is a voicemail from the person that just called. I should be able to play this through.
We'll apologize if there's anything bad here, guys.
Yes, my name is Patricia Vaughn, and I'm Eric Foote is my nephew.
You guys hearing that?
The cop didn't drop him off at Freshies because this is what the cops and the chief of police is telling everybody. Now, everybody shouldn't be believing this cop after the inconsistencies he says about the hospital. Now, why are they backing him up and lying about it? And on top of that, this Amy girl, she just came out after 40 days, and there's no way that he would talk to anybody in that situation and his mentality. And I question her. Thank you.
Oh,
all right. Okay. We got some drama going on. Thank you, Patricia. Let's see. So yeah, so clearly he's a crooked cop, or he's just not very good at his job. As Ateen Shah was never really reported missing, there wasn't much done about the case. Did this kind of believed Mike Shah, her husband's story about her going off to work on a cruise ship in the middle of COVID.
Right. Yeah. And we like we said, we did cover that one before. If you guys want to go back and look that one up, Ateen Shah, like, she was not someone who was just going to abandon her kids and her family. Like, she was very connected to all of them.
And yes, I'd actually talked to Brenda about this too. Maybe creating a search party this spring. I don't know how much snow you guys got up there. I think, Jeff, you got what, almost 2 feet at your house, didn't you?
We had over 2 feet here with that last storm.
So Megan says, have they had any search parties in Washburn for Eric? Just the one that we know of on February 19th with the police department, the game wardens, and some dogs, which turned up nothing. She said, can we organize a thorough search along the roads and by the river about an hour away at Awaska? But we'll absolutely go and help search. Thank you, Megan. And Freshies, so Patricia says Freshies showed no images of Eric. And then we're hearing also that some people said Freshies said they weren't recording that day.
Potentially. I mean, this is all mostly coming out of the chat that we're listening to here. I mean, it is nice to see there's people who are local to the area who are in here.
Shannon Barby says, is no one actively looking for him like law enforcement? He's a missing person. I don't know how much they're actually doing to look for him. In fact, they kind of told Brenda that they think he's passed already and he died of hypothermia and that they would probably find him in the spring. That's what they told Brenda, his mom.
God, what a heartbreaking thing to hear.
Stacey Baker says someone who knew Eric worked at Freshies and said he spoke to him. So that'd be interesting. Stacey, do you know what kind of...
I think that was... I thought there was someone in here that was talking. One of the messages earlier, comments from earlier, said that their ex-husband was working there and said they talked to him.
That was the Amy one that Trisha talked about. So I didn't think this Christy. That's a good point. Probably just coincidence, but both Eric and Chandler are from Tampa. So I wonder if they had any interaction while they both lived down that way.
I mean, Tampa's a really big city, though. So.
Oh, so it's not like Presque Isle or Washburn. No. I mean, it's interesting. Like, what if?
Yeah, that is an interesting connection, though.
Am I really this far up? 7:30. What time you got? I'm 7 minutes behind in the comments. Sorry, guys.
What is this? Chandler actually commented on her friend's A Teen Missing post, saying he investigated and found nothing. Lack of caring about the community is not even cool. Thankfully, he resigned. Yeah, I kind of wish that they, like, oh man, I don't know, man.
I think police definitely need a lot more training to deal with people that are having mental health episodes. Or as Austin picked to the PIPD shot a family friend over a mental episode after he was injured and he passed then and there. They aren't the kind of protection we would hope for.
I mean, it's one thing, right? If someone is like attacking you, if someone comes at you with a knife, that's unfortunate. But if someone is, you know, just like manic and maybe they're being erratic, like, I don't know the situation involving your family friend, but like, if someone's just having an episode, you know, talk to them, like,
now,
do something.
I wonder if Asna, you related shooting them. Asna, you related to Virginia Pictou? She's another missing person from Maine. Has Officer Cole given a reason why he left the force? Is that something to look into? Pretty sure he left the force because he was being suspended and knew that he screwed up.
Yeah, he knew. Yeah, he knew he fucked up.
Again, I don't think he had anything to do with the disappearance. I don't think, you know, there was an argument or anything like that. I think that he had poor judgment, right, and didn't follow through what he should have done.
And Shirley says, do they not have some kind of GPS tracking on police cars that track where the police cars have driven? I don't know personally the finances of Presque Isle Police Department or Washburn Police Department. You would assume that they probably should. Like, I think every department should have cameras on all officers and their vehicles. And yes, most definitely GPS, but there's nothing saying that they do, right?
Yeah. And Jess is right. I did look at that earlier. The website still shows Chandler Cole is working there, but he definitely has resigned. They can't keep up with the missing person list, so they probably aren't keeping up with their staff either. Let's see. Billy Joe, is it possible that drugs could be a play in this? I mean, unfortunately, that's what a lot of these cases center around, right? Some sort of drug activity. There's someone buying, selling, or overdosing.
I mean, this sounds more like, you know, it was a mental health crisis that needed attention. I don't think that maybe, even if drugs were involved, probably wasn't as big a factor as the actual mental health issues.
And I'm guessing Heather's says June, July, because that's when the trails will open back up for ATV riders. A strong possibility of that.
And the other thing too is, and I'll bring it back up, the, you know, that Washburn Road goes right by the Aroostook River too. So unfortunately that is a real possibility as well, is that he might have one way or another ended up in the water.
Yeah, can you zoom in along the river there? And actually, we can kind of show them where a teen Shaw went missing as well.
Yeah, I didn't have that in here. I don't have a teen's thing.
It's actually close to where you have that pin.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's like, see how the river gets close to the road over here?
Yeah, down here.
I'm trying to remember from memory here. No, it's not island there. It's in the same general area though, where Dean Shaw's house is. We'd have to look up the address again. And Austin says that Virginia Pictou was his cousin. Austin, thank you for joining in.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Kayla, yeah, we did cover that earlier. Chandler has charged some tamp on his wife who had put emergency restraining order for abuse. And then she says Eric wasn't a person who would have hurt himself. So I'm thinking Kayla knows Eric personally. We are so sorry that Eric has not been found yet. Yeah, so Stacy, funny story. It's just the sheriff's department working on it. I did notice that yesterday state police did share the case, which I thought was kind of good timing since we're going live and we're going to be bashing the police department. They'd post that.
And Chrissy also says, were any law enforcement agencies invited to speak on this podcast? And if Klein, no, we don't generally reach out to law enforcement to talk on the podcast. We have had one of them get a hold of us to come on for a different state, but I'm not sure if it would really be able to yield very much, but it's worth an attempt, I guess, at some point. I'm so used to us not, you know, people don't usually get answers from the police departments in a lot of these cases anyways. You know, it's a lot of it's like open stuff, and even if it's missing, you know, most of those details usually come out
or are already out there. But Jeff, let's call him. Let's do it live.
It's 7. Yeah, they're probably all in bed.
Yeah, right. So I hope I'm saying her name right, Leisha Thomas. It is my understanding that Eric had been harassed by Officer Cole on several occasions in Washburn. When he would go to the local store, be walking down Main Street, Cole stopped him several times, asked why he was out walking, and that he was keeping an eye on him. Eric felt harassed and fearful of him, is what I was told. So yeah, so it's crazy when you hear some of these stories, but again, you also have to look at it as third-party information. Who knows? If you do have direct knowledge of anything like that, please reach out to us or reach out to the sheriff's department, let them know. Candace, yes. This is so sad. Eric was a good friend of mine, and I hope he is found. This is heartbreaking.
Sorry to hear that.
Yes, Cole was harassing Eric, according to Patricia. You must be way ahead of me, because I just saw one that you posted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was getting more of the more recent ones.
We need to get a search crew together. Has anyone made contact with his children's mother? He always talked about going to see his children. Has anyone looked into bus tickets? That's a good thought, Whitney. Absolutely. You know, could be that he did take off on his own, but it's highly doubtful. He was having an episode, not prepared for the weather. As I said earlier, it got to minus 18 that night.
And from the sounds of it, he, you know, he liked to stay around his family as well. You know, if he'd just taken a bus ticket, it doesn't line up to me that he would have just gotten on a bus and headed out somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Austin, yeah, I wasn't alive to ever meet her. And he's talking about his cousin, Virginia. But it had an effect on my mom and from the stories my family have told me. And I talked to Francis. I believe that must be maybe your uncle, about her case to come on here. We just haven't had a chance to do that yet. Seems strange if he was harassed by...
I was just about to click that one too.
Seems strange if he was harassed by Cole, he would be willing to take a ride with him.
I mean, if you're in a desperate situation, I think that is understandable that you would get a ride, because most people would assume that they could trust a police officer, even if they're kind of a dick to them sometimes, right? But from the sounds of it, he still ended up letting him down.
So Heather says, how do I post a picture of an email I got from the Maine State Police? And then Northland Investigations Consulting says, screenshot it and post it in the comments. Yes, absolutely. Please do. We'd love to see what that is. Or you can call Jeff on the on the call-in line and tell us what it says.
Yeah, that number, you could send a text message to that number as well, and we can respond to those as well.
Heather says he had no money on him. Patricia said, yes, he had no money. So why is cop dropping him off at a store? Good question. Christy says, so if he was harassing him, why is it that not being looked into? I don't understand this at all. I feel so much for this family. It's so fishy.
Especially if he was potentially one of the last people to see him. He claims he dropped him off there. There's no camera footage, but he claims he interacted with him. I guess the last alleged viewing of him would have been the minister, right? And not saying that he didn't see him, but you know, it's kind of on his word that he did in fact see him, and maybe not someone else. But Cole, I think, should be probably questioned a bit more.
Kara says, "Sally,
drop it."
Oh, sorry.
Yep. Good.
I say sorry a lot. I noticed that.
Yeah.
Sadly, a young man in my area drowned by falling into the harbor during a mental health crisis. It can happen, and not intentionally, meaning he wasn't trying to harm himself. Yeah, there's been no talk of Eric being in that state of mind. Glad to see this story is getting out there. I'm from a surrounding town, and there's little coverage of this. It's so sad. Officer Cole, is he a Caribou officer or Presque Isle? He was Washburn, and I think maybe he subcontracted with a couple other towns up there as well, because I don't think Washburn had like a full-time position for him. But he's no longer a police officer. He has resigned. And Connie, it's sad but true. Patricia needs to... Oh, I'm sorry. Brendan needs to be calling the police department daily. Bug the hell out of them.
Yeah, and
why do you have to?
Yeah, you shouldn't have to. And again, like we had said, you know, she is very distraught over all of this. So I don't know if she would necessarily have the energy for it. But someone needs to be.
Somebody put in the comments, and I won't post it. I mean, I guess if somebody wanted to see it, they could go find it anyways. But this may be irrelevant, but 10 or 12 years ago, I seen Cole at a bar with a group of people known to partake in drug activity. I did not see him do drugs, but it was kind of suspicious when he and the group of people came back in the bar wiping their noses. Another fun fact, one of the gentlemen he was hanging with that night got popped with drugs 2 years ago in Wade, Maine.
And this is all alleged. We're saying that now. This is from our comments.
Did you fellas hear about the Jeremy Lau case? That explains a lot about the sheriff's department up here. Jeremy Lau, that does sound familiar. I'll have to look it up. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Brenda's telling me, I've talked to her multiple times, and she says she keeps calling the PD. They're not returning phone calls. They're not giving her any information. Nothing new. They pretty much don't do anything.
So apparently Jeremy Lau was killed in police custody.
Oh, yeah. He tripped and fell, right?
County sheriff. Shocked, beaten, and handcuffed face down.
Sounds like resisting.
And that just... the reporting is from 2003. It looks like... How did I not hear about that? That's very recent. March 2002. It looks like roughly when it happened. But it was settled in 2003.
Heather,
no charges against the authorities.
Says, Miss Callahan, Eric is listed as a missing person, has been since the beginning. Aroostook Sheriff's Office put out a file, 6 missing person, and it's been active in NCIS since he first was reported missing. Eric's not listed on the Maine State Police missing person list because we are not the primary investigating agency, but we've been working in conjunction with the ACSO and offering our assistance anywhere they need it. Sergeant Forrest Dudley has been my primary point of contact, and it doesn't give me any more. So it sounds like Heather maybe works for the police, state police. Heather, you want to call in? Give us an update?
Uh,
Don Redeker says it was definitely strange for Cole to not taking him to the hospital if he was having a mental crisis. You're supposed to not fear from the cops, by Eric Waz, question mark. Definitely he should be questioned more than them not contacting the mother about nothing. That's crazy. Yeah. It seems like it's Dominique,
yeah, there's more active unsolved cases in Maine than there are solved ones. It's devastating, yes.
Oh, sorry. Or maybe Adventures with Purpose could come up. Tim Blanger says, the waters are open, so there's no reason why Border Patrol can't ride their boat up and down that river. Honestly, like, if I lived closer, I'd do that.
Right.
Static seems common for Washburn police officers. Wasn't there a female officer that was dismissed from that Washburn for sketchy behavior? I'm not aware of that, but I can certainly look into it. Yeah, it is kind of nuts. Robin, she says, yes, crazy. He and another woman from Washburn are missing, and two murders unsolved in Roostook County. There's such a, I mean, it's a big area, but, you know, there's not many people that live up there.
Oh, and correction here. Jeremy Lau is 2023, not 2003. I thought I said 2023. Sorry if I said 2003.
Excessive force noted on data on Washburn PD. So they've had that before, apparently.
Initially, it was my understanding that they had leads that they were following up on, and they didn't want a lot of information put out to the public because it looked as though they would have had answers very soon. I heard this from Brenda, Eric's mother, and tried to reassure her that maybe they would know something within a matter of a few days. At this point, at this point in time, it is looking like that was the case, and that was the case at all. Okay, and it has been a ball that dropped completely. And it's very confusing, I assume, is where that goes to.
State says, what about drones? Why can't they be searching the area with drones like they did in New Hampshire? And that's a good point, too. Even if you're a citizen sleuth like the ones watching tonight, if you're in the area, you know, flying drones is fun. I have a drone myself. Spend some time and help look for Eric.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, what you can see from above. You can, because you could very easily be walking, like searching an area, you know, if there's big gaps between you and another person, you might look at something and not see anything, but from above you could, you know, see the outline of either a person or articles of clothing. Like, the angles are a lot different. You usually have a much better view of stuff.
So just to go back over the timeline again, January 30th, 2024, that morning it was about 18 degrees. Officer Cole encounters Eric in the early morning outside of his house in the full stages of a mental health crisis. Officer Cole does not call for assistance for Eric, doesn't call, you know, for an ambulance or anything to help take care of him. Then again, around 1:15 that afternoon, Officer Cole sees Eric on the side of the Washburn Road. Eric is still in a manic state with no jacket and short sleeve shirt. Officer Cole then has Eric get in his cruiser for a ride. And this is something else Brenda had told me. Officer Cole initially tells the family he dropped Eric off at the hospital. Then once they question, you know, they call the hospital, try to look for him.
We have another call. Oh, sorry, that's not supposed to be coming through yet.
Officer Cole initially tells the family he dropped Eric off at the hospital. Later, he changes it, or is found out through the dispatch, that he actually dropped him off at Freshies. The other thing that Brenda had told me was that on the dispatch logs, Officer Cole was joking with the dispatcher about how Eric was behaving that morning. And that's how we know that he actually came across him that morning. So it's nothing in the records showing that, just that one comment in the dispatch
line. Okay, Travis, we do have Heather on the line, actually.
Okay, cool.
All right, hey, Heather.
Okay, if we continue from ACSO on the letter, It says, I forwarded him your email. He'll be sharing the post on our social media to help get the word out statewide. I hope this helps answer your questions. Respectfully, Josh. I guess it's Detective Sergeant Josh Haynes in Maine State Police. So I haven't heard anything from anybody else.
So it's okay. Just a quick response to your email?
Yeah, that's basically what they did. And I've been contacting them since Monday and haven't heard anything.
So do you work with the state police then?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just a concerned citizen.
Well, you sound like you're a concerned citizen, so do you want a job?
I'd love a job. No, well, I have could... babies at home I take care of, so
there you go. That's okay. My job. Well, it's I'm very happy to hear that there are other people out here trying to help with this. You know, the family is going through a lot, and I don't know if you know them personally at all, but
I don't know them personally, but I have talked to Brenda.
Okay.
So yeah, I've sent her over information as I have gotten it myself.
Okay.
Heather, thank you so much for everything you're doing.
I appreciate it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Have a great night.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good question, Austin says, why did they wait almost a month to search for him anyways if there was a mental crisis, right? And why should they have to be searching for him? He should have been dropped off the hospital. He should have had, you know, an ambulance called for him.
Right. Yeah, Cole could have just done his job properly from the start. And, you know, it sounds like it could have, like, you know, Eric was going through some stuff anyways, and that could have been the moment that things turned around for the better for him, right? If he gets into the hospital and trying to address his needs, you know, and instead it turned into what we assume to be a really just tragic night. We don't know for sure, but it doesn't look good, right?
So later on the night of January 30th, temperatures got down to minus 13 to minus 18 degrees. Eric is not seen on CCTV at Freshies. Cole is the last confirmed contact with Eric. There's a report of a minister who is driving through, heading towards Washburn. He sees Eric walking back towards his house on the Washburn Road. The minister didn't stop to pick him up because he had a young child in the vehicle with him and was concerned for the child's safety. But he also reported that he seemed to be arguing with someone in a pickup truck. And to my knowledge, he hasn't said what color the truck was or type of vehicle. I actually want to show some of the comments that people have said on Facebook too. Let me go back to share my screen. All right, can you see that?
It is kind of small.
These are things I got from Brenda. So Heather Panette says, I seen him in the afternoon or a bit after. That maybe when the police picked him up, they said someone was en route to check what the distance was. They had numerous calls on it that day. It was below zero and the guy was only wearing a t-shirt. So multiple people saw him walking. Multiple people called it in. And now we have him missing. Janelle Wilcox says, I saw him jogging up the road towards Washburn that morning near the snow sled trail going from Crossville to Washburn. And that's the area that the PD did search. I thought it was strange for someone out jogging without a jacket. This would have been before police picked him up and took him to Presque Isle. There were some comments that he almost got hit by cars and someone saw him coming out of the woods. And they say saw him throwing off his shirt, crying in distress, and something really wrong. And why didn't nobody stop?
I know. Yeah, I mean, you see someone jogging in the middle of January or the end of January, almost February in Maine, and you don't like, hey, are you all right? Don is saying, did someone say earlier Eric may be in the Tampa area? I could be wrong, but I can try to post him somehow to Tampa area. So he's from Tampa. But I assume you're saying make a post about him in the Tampa area, and that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Especially if he has any friends down in that area that might, you know, recognize him, maybe have heard from him, something. That would be awesome, Don.
Oh yeah, so something else Brenda wanted me to let you guys all know, that when they called the officer again, he insisted that he dropped Eric off at the hospital and I wasn't going to hold his hand and take him inside. That's what he told his mother. The officer knew Eric lived in Washburn and had no transportation to get back home. He knew Eric needed help and didn't call him an ambulance or take him to the hospital. When the family called the chief of police, the chief told us that the officer lied to him too. And when he tried to put him under administrative leave pending an investigation, Officer Cole got mad and quit and walked out. It's unreal. Unreal. This should be a movie.
Like a child. Like, oh, I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm just going to leave.
I won't reread all this. This is his, when he made the Tampa Bay Times. Just so you know, if you come across Officer Cole in that area as well, like, please share any stories you have of him, whether it be good or bad. Like, if you think he's a great officer, we'd love to hear that too. Maybe this is a one-off. Maybe it's just, you know, I'm not out headhunting. I don't want him to destroy his family or have anything like that. Like, he could be a decent guy that just made a bad decision.
Well, it sounds like he's made at least two bad decisions.
Okay, maybe a couple. Austin says, unfortunately for the town, people will look at less fortunate people like that and assume it's a drug-related issue or due to the amount of addicts that roam around our town. Yeah, that's a everywhere thing, right?
And even if it is a drug-related thing, that shouldn't matter. It doesn't mean that he doesn't deserve to be found, to be looked for. Like, what are the resources that we put into protecting our communities if not to try to help them? Like, especially in a situation like this. And there's a family that's devastated because of it.
Linda says, that's the stance of a lot of cops here. Not going to hold your hand and not going to babysit you.
And there's a giant difference. That's the other thing. I meant to mention this. Like, there's a difference between babysitting someone and then taking care of someone who is in, like, desperate need of help. Like, that's not babysitting. Fuck that guy.
I was just going to say that, Donna. Sounds like Eric could have become hypothermic. That in itself can cause odd behavior. Throwing off his clothes, shirt, etc. is part of being hypothermic. You start to feel very hot very quickly. Yes, absolutely. So that's a good point. Thank you so much for sharing that, Donna.
And hello, Donna. Haven't seen you for a little while.
Yeah, hello, Donna. Like this. See, Christy says, Officer Channel walked out upon learning of the investigation. Did he plead the fifth, which implies he committed a crime that he won't be witness against himself? Or did he lawyer up? Those details should be known. That is a great question. I should know that answer, but I do not.
Maybe we should give the police department a call.
His poor mom, so heartbreaking. Couldn't imagine. I pray for answers and closure for his family. Oops.
Boom. He lawyered up, huh? And that's not indicative of him committing a crime, but it doesn't look good either.
Connie says to call him.
If we did these live streams a bit earlier in the day, we could call during normal work hours when someone's actually around.
Oh, well, now's a good time to share a Patreon page so we don't have to go to work. Linda says, agreed, mental health is not always taken seriously. Both cases essentially involve mental health issues.
Yeah, I mean, it all is. Addiction is a mental illness.
Oops, did you just hear something?
I didn't, nope.
Okay. If you really thought he hadn't done anything wrong, he wouldn't have dipped out as soon as people start asking questions, exactly. Stace says, I would like to know who told the police that Eric had a blue jacket on. That was on a flyer, I believe, made by the sheriff's office. I know if you talk about the right and the red and white one, we made that, and initially the information I had was that he did have a jacket on. So if you talk about that one, that was my mistake. I think I read it like Heather a comment. Here.
Our first encounter with Cole was when he and another officer came up to our house to tell me he just saw me let a fugitive with a gun through my house. I told him no, and because I have a toddler in my house, and asked him if he was fucking crazy and slammed the door in his face. What?
Wow.
Saw you let a fugitive with a gun through your house?
Luke says, Cole was a shitty cop to me, got in my face in my yard and tried to give me tickets over dog got out and said he would crush my kids' bikes because they were too close to the road and we lived at the end of a dead-end road. I called Ashland Police and they had tickets dropped. I've had multiple run-ins over stupid things. He was always ignorant ass, honestly. Ignorant ass. Honestly, he was never just nice, always trying to be some big guy. He was like, I'm from a way bigger place. Always throwing out that they're a very ignorant person, in my opinion. Thanks for including that, in my opinion.
Yes, yes. We like the in my opinion, I think, or assume, because we don't want to get in trouble for slander or libel. So,
right. Chris says, one question the police ask citizens is, if you didn't do anything wrong, why did you need an attorney? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's saying cop told everyone Eric had a jacket on.
Oh, there's Joe Charpentier. Hey, Joe, how's it going? Said, I tuned in late. Apologies if this has been answered. Are complaints against the Washburn Police Department a common thing?
There was some comments in there earlier about they've had some like excessive force charges and stuff against them.
Yeah, there's, and from these comments, there definitely seems like there should have been complaints against Cole. There's a lot of people that have some strong words for him.
I don't want to bring this up because someone else mentioned it, but screw it. Luke says, I don't exactly know how true this is, but I heard he allowed some favors from females in town. Was hoping someone was going to bring that up.
And there were comments about that earlier. That's actually like the sixth time I've seen something along those lines. And we don't know the validity of any of that. It is just sort of hearsay. Hopefully that's all it is.
Maybe Joe could do an article about this missing person case.
What do you think, Joe?
I mean, he's a little ways away down in Lewiston, but
hey, it's happening in our great state. Right, right. We need to hire journalists and have a newsletter about this stuff. By hire, I mean we will thank them. We'll pay them with compliments.
Right. Unless somebody has anything else they want to talk about, we kind of run out of material here. But
yeah, we do want to say, I want to personally say thank you to everyone tuning in for this and sharing this out. If you've shared it, if you haven't, please do. You know, that helps get this story out there, because you can look this up and there's not a lot out there. The articles that you see is like one paragraph, and that's about it. You know,
I wonder if this is true. What Alicia is saying, ever since this incident, Washburn has not had a police department with no explanation to the citizens. Is that true? If you live up in Washburn, please let us know. I'm from Washburn, lived there since I was 12 into my 30s. There's only been 3 good cops in my lifetime there. That's sad. Joe says, yeah, out of my coverage area, but bug the papers by all means.
And in case anyone doesn't normally follow us, Joe Charpentier is a reporter that was an investigative reporter that was on a couple weeks ago.
Covering Celeste Dogmey's case. Dogmey?
I'm always mispronouncing it.
Virginia says, I've not seen police in Washburn in a while. And that is aside from the one or two sheriffs I have seen like for a month. So that's interesting. Trisha said, yes, true. Sandra said, this one officer now. Heather says it's true. So, wow. This could be like a huge scandal for them. Stu says, thank you so much. You have no idea how much this was needed. It's true. We don't have a police department.
Oh, yeah right there. Oh, I think we just clicked on the same thing. There are no active officers in Washburn at this time. Yes.
Unreal.
Did the finances just come through and they had to, like, they couldn't afford it? Like, that's such a weird time. Like, because there is
probably police department preparing for a lawsuit.
Maybe.
Am I clicking things on you? My husband spoke with the sheriff's downtown 2 days ago, and he says that the sheriff's department is covering us. When asked why, he said he didn't know.
Okay, wow. And Maine troopers are covering our cover our area. Okay, so it's probably troopers and the sheriff's department. That's weird. I wonder if there is something about ready to come down about Washburn's police department.
So they still have a chief. This case really needs to be solved because it's very sickening. There's a lot of little towns without cops, so the state cops and sheriffs have to take care of these little towns. So therefore, things like this get left behind and things don't get solved. Where's the chief? Remember that? Where's the beef?
Oh, and Stacy says, I want to share something else. If you go into Maine State Police and type Eric's name in there, it's nowhere, no results we found yet.
They're horrible about updating that list. Patricia says, corruption in a small town.
So, and we've said it a couple times already, but yeah, if you guys can share this on any of the platforms you're watching or listening on, whether it be YouTube or Facebook, or I mean, we're even on Twitch right now, but I don't think we have any viewers on Twitch. That's fine. But, you know, share this out. I had to ask
Jeff what Twitch was. I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, it's just another platform for us to try and get these stories out on. So, yeah, if you can share them out, you know, the likes help, subscriptions, which is greatly appreciated. But, you know, we can't, these stories don't get heard unless people see them, right? And if we put any sort of pressure on the police departments to try to get their asses in gear.
Remember, Eric was a veteran. Like, he deserved better.
Yeah. Yeah, I take that personally because I'm a veteran as well.
We were sharing a chief of police with Ashland Police Department. I do not know if that chief is still active duty with Washburn or not. Again, as citizens, we've been kept completely in the dark. Have you please reached out to, I don't know what you guys have up there. Do you have a mayor? Deputy mayor or whoever.
Selectman or whatever.
Selectman. Yeah, reach out to your selectman, find out what they're doing about this. They all got the hell out of here, out of there, because they are being questioned and they know he was in the wrong, so they don't have to answer because there's nobody there to answer.
Town manager, Sandra Miller says, is a town manager.
Oh, yeah, let's look up her phone number. State police seem slow. I don't think there's ever been any updates since they searched the house in the Atene Shaw case. You are correct. There's not been anything. It is crazy to have two stories, you know, because he went missing January 30th, then a teen's case finally got coverage soon after that, right? And to have these two cases going on at the same time definitely puts a spotlight on that area.
So I do have some contact information for the town of Washburn. I don't see the actual... There is a name that comes up on LinkedIn, but I don't know if that's a current town manager.
Billy Joe says a Teen Shaw case was handled carelessly. Same cop on both cases. So a Teen Shaw disappeared. And Officer Cole is the one that took the initial report, believed the husband, and did nothing with it. And now Officer Cole is the one that was last seen with Eric Foote. He was also another missing person from the same town.
Yeah, but he comes from a big city, so he knows how to handle things, right?
Right. Big city that he got suspended from.
For biting his friend and attacking his wife.
Biting his friend.
Or a friend. I don't know if it was his friend. Probably not friends anymore, but... So I think that, yeah, we're probably just about at the end of this, unless anyone has any more to talk about here, but we greatly appreciate everyone tuning in.
Yes, we had a great turnout. We appreciate everyone, the comments, the few phone calls tonight. That was good. Love to hear some more. If you guys have a case that you want us to cover, please reach out to us because we are looking for more cases to cover. Currently, we have nothing scheduled for next week, Jeff, which is not good.
Yeah,
sure, but we've been 3 weeks. Just go ahead.
Yeah, it has been pretty good. We usually try to do every Wednesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time, is when we have the podcast, and we'll be on next Wednesday nonetheless. We'll just try to dig some stuff up, maybe some old stuff, maybe some updates if there's anything that we've covered in the past. Maybe we have some updates. But I just want to thank you, everyone, for tuning in and sharing this out there.
Yeah, thank you guys. Everyone have a good night. Please yes. Pray for Eric, and let's see what we can do to help bring him home. If you're available this spring, I think Brenda wants to try to do a search, but if you live up in the area, please on your own. If you have property, please search your property. If you have absolutely. A drone, or if you have a boat and are willing to go up the river, please do that. We just need to find Eric and bring him home for his family. Oops. Oh, honestly, that's what we're saying. Like, I don't think he's that bad of a cop that he could screw up two cases like that. Megan, the Dennis DeShane case keeps coming back.
And... Megan's also saying new court stuff happening next month.
I saw that on Dennis DeShane case.
Okay.
He was convicted of murdering Sarah Cherry.
And let me share this out here one more time before we go. This will be the last thing we do. This is the Facebook page for Help Bring Eric Foote Home. So if you guys all want to go like that, follow that page, if there's any updates, then it will definitely come through that. But if we get anything, we will share that out as well. So,
and Stacy, her cousin Austin is in this group chat, and I did talk to Francis, who's her brother, about covering the case a couple different times, but we just haven't made it work. So that's a good one. I'll try to reach back out to him. Thank you, Stacy.
All right, guys. Well, thank you again. You all have a great rest of your night, and we'll see you next time.
Have a good night.
For 5-year-old Taylor Williams led investigators to Alabama this week.
So we have some breaking news from Florida. An arrest has been made.
Tonight, after years of agony, a glimmer of hope for the family.
Investigators spent hours searching through this house off Pennsylvania Avenue.
What could be a major development in the search for missing Alabama teenager?
Tonight, a stunning twist in the search for Taylor.
Somebody out there knows something.
They want to lay him to rest their way, not by somebody else's way.